So let's get to us.
One thing you
that
said.
That wasn't him, it was me.
No, oh, that Antifa was right in the middle
it
of it?
It was me. I mean, I told him that.
Okay. One thing that no one has brought up is that he has Cuban Marxist force even said it on a Zoom call in 2015. They said they've been training with communists on communist tactics, and that's one of the communist tactics. Infiltrate and you make it seem like the other party is doing something
wrong. But you know, Rob, at the end of the day, it's draining, it's exhausting, and I think we just need to focus on positive and, you know, personal responsibility, growing our business, and help the community.
And take care of your family, right?
Take care of our family, exactly.
Okay, so what progress that you're making in terms of marketing and...
Okay, so I emailed you earlier this morning. I did, from the checklist that we discussed, items. The 24-month calendar is completed. I realized I did not attach it. I'm going to send it to you. I just did one minor tweak. I found the one we were using. So I'll send that to you. But that's already done. I discussed it with our VEA representative, and what she is going to do is all of the marketing efforts through LinkedIn and through NBA are going to be tied into our 24-month client calendar.
Great.
So if we're talking to clients about insurance any particular month, she'll make sure that there's, you know, posts on LinkedIn and NBA is going out to clients and prospects on financial planning and so forth. I have a lot of homework I owe her. I have to get her, so we need to kind of tweak our, make sure we have our, you know, a good prospect list. It could be people who we, you know, are targeting, or it can even be a list, or so we're working to see how we're going to move forward there. The executive summaries and agendas went to all clients on my end, yeah, 100%. And Rick says his as well.
Wonderful.
Still sending executive summaries.
Yeah. So webinars, you attended that first webinar I had.
Yes.
And the next one will be Eaton Vance. We're going to have one of their... portfolio managers addressing here on Barron's. There's a report issue published. It's called State of the State, and it discusses the current situation in the state, the you know, municipal market for the up here.
So okay. We're
going to have one of the portfolio discussing that.
He's a contributor. He writes that report,
so he will be on my call now in March to discuss the state of the state municipal market for clients and prospects.
Great.
Advertise application, that's on my today.
Okay, say that again. You are breaking up a little bit.
Okay, Google Advertise.
Yes. Okay.
I have not done that.
What is the form about?
Right. We had the call. There's an application I need to turn to the board, and I have not finalized to do that. So I need to finish that. And there was one other item. Hold on. I'm looking for my list. The marketing calendar I have not done. So those are the two items I don't have for you.
Okay, so the marketing calendar should be pretty similar, or at least you can take some impetus from the 24-month calendar.
Okay.
Okay, so kind of look at the 24-month calendar and think about can we play off of that and create a marketing calendar out of it?
Okay.
So things like, you know, you might consider like long-term care, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might have John Hancock get on there and do a webinar on long-term care as a marketing initiative.
Got it. Okay, that's a great idea.
See what I mean? You can tie these things together, and you love your, you know, you love your webinars. You like to communicate with your clients. You like to, great way, you know, invite a friend and so forth. The key is to increase your, your email list. Okay. So you want to leverage off of anybody that you can co-market with. Like, let's say you want to do this with another, a CPA or an attorney or somebody of, you know, that's an influencer in your community that has a group of people. See if you can co-brand these things and use their email list.
That's a great idea.
And you know, once most people don't mind that once you, you know, you just let them know, you know, if you don't mind, we're going to just send these guys. It's, you know, these are all educational. They're not salesy, you know, they're all training. And so, you know, we're going to do these probably one a month. Would you mind if we email your clients that, you know, that we've emailed in our joint thing? And they go, yes or no, right?
Great idea. Okay.
So that way, let's say you had 5 centers of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got, instead of your list of 500, now you've got 2,500 or 3,000 names you're emailing.
Right.
Now you're going to get a good audience.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. And then Rick will go over his update now. And before we do that, we, the Supernova Dollars venture, new venture that you're moving forward with.
Wait, before you, I have a question on the marketing. So,
yes.
On the co-branding with the CPA or attorney.
Yes.
Say, for instance, next month on the state of the state, you would only use one CPA, correct? You wouldn't do it with multiple CPAs for that call or?
It just depends, you know, what kind of relationship you have. Would they be willing to do that? Would they be willing to, you know, I would probably do one CPA and probably one estate plan, you know, try and keep it to your mastermind group kind of.
If I could,
okay.
It makes sense that way, right?
Okay. Oh, the Supernova Dollars that we're happy, whatever you need help with, we're happy to help you with any
with the initiative,
the initiative, any capacity, any way, whatever.
The mentoring and,
right. I'm an alumni of Miami Senior High School. It's a high school, I would probably say 99.9% Hispanic and African American, lower income minority in Little Havana here in Miami. So if you would like me to meet with the principal or I don't know. I mean, anything. You tell me what you need and we're happy to help you.
We're probably going to do business with Florida A&T.
Got it.
Because they have a, I think they're one of the ones that have a good business school, top business school. And they also, I think they have a CFP program. If not, we'll have a CFP program that we can teach through the CFP Institute, and they have a program, a complete online program through Wiley to get your certification. So that's wonderful. Well, thank you. Both of you then?
Yeah. Yes.
So that's so sweet of you. Thank you. I think we'll get a lot out of it. Okay. And, you guys are for real. See, I'm getting such weird feedback from people. I don't know. You guys can help me with this. And I don't want to talk about this. You know, it's my passion. So I be careful. But they're telling me that, you know, black males are so sensitive and will quit on a dime if they're not treated a certain way. I'm like, who are these people talking to? You know, what are they? How can you make such a gross generality about?
I think it's more generational. I think it's more generational that it's not.
It's not culture one race. Or race.
I think it's, there's, generationally, there's a lot more people that are sensitive today than there was even 10, 20 years ago.
Of all colors and of all races.
Races and
people get offended. We're living in a generation of offense. Everybody gets offended very easily. Yeah. This young generation, unless they have the nurturing and the upbringing of parents and grandparents who are really teaching their kids certain values and certain things. If they're just turned over to the system per se, you know, they're taught that they're victims. And
well, the system is the public school
system. Right, the public school system is what I mean. The public school system teaches them that somehow they're victims, you know, and it's just a different mindset. It's all about the mindset. So I think we need to work on the mindset in addition. Everything else.
Do you think by going through the athletic department of these colleges and picking on athletes that we're going to get a tougher, more experienced group?
Yes.
Yes. You're going to get a tougher, you know, because you're used to.
Rick actually went to not a top school, but he trained with a lot of, you know, different ethnicity and for football.
Yeah, I played junior college, but that was 25 years ago. But yeah, athletes are used to, you know, the grind basically and being screened at, having authority figures, maybe not even screened at, just being, you know,
having an authority,
having an answer to someone, you know, having to perform,
having to put up meritocracy.
You know, they have, you, if you don't perform, you don't play. If you, you know, and when it does happen, when people that don't perform do play because of favoritism, no one on the team likes it, whether they're black, white, purple, yellow, no one likes it. You know, so you can understand, like coming into this business, like I said, when they told me, it doesn't matter if you partner with her and she brought you in. If you don't perform, we got to cut you. And I said, that's fine with me. That's the way things should be,
that's
right?
That's the way life is.
That's the way life is, you know? There shouldn't be any favoritism. Yeah, the favoritism maybe got me in through the door, but if I didn't perform, you know, then so be it. So I think you will get somewhat of a tougher mindset with athletes.
I agree.
And there's, you know, a lot of these schools – now, and not just Florida A&T, but like for instance, UM has a program for their athletes. I forgot what it's called, the Alumni Network or something like that, to get these athletes once they finish playing sports, because the reality is most of them won't go pro.
Right.
Even for like UM that is producing the most NFL players of any schools and Alabama and stuff like that. That helps them get into industry, you know, career that they're interested or they may like.
I think you would get a different type of student if you go through the athletic department. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that because I just can't stand this idea of coddling these kids. I mean, it doesn't mean that I, you know, but they're gonna get punched in the face.
Yeah.
I'm wasting 4 years or 3 years to get a kid in a job and then have him quit the first week because somebody says something mean to him. Yeah.
HBCUs, 99.9% of those athletes are not going to go pro.
Right.
It's a rarity that one of them goes pro. You know, there's only so many Jerry Rices.
And the other thing you need to be aware of in, as you're going through the program is just to be very sensitive of the environment that we're in. Something that you may tell us, you know, for instance, you know, to be tough love kind of thing, we may take it as tough love and we shape up and we do our best, but you may say something from a place of tough love to one of these students.
Be the same throughout.
I know you have to be the same throughout, but my concern is something's recorded, something's published in the newspaper, something's...
Oh, the environment.
The environment, the culture that we're living in, that they're looking for anyone to just kind of attack and aim you.
Oh, I know, and therefore I probably will not be a mentor. We'll try and have everybody as mentors that are, you know, that has been through this. And that are people of color, you know, cause then there's no garbage, you know, then there's not, oh, white privilege has just told me that I need to shape up, you know.
Yeah. You need to shape up. You need to, you know, have your stuff ready or anything. I mean, anything can be misconstrued and twisted and turned into something you didn't see.
And the way that you overcome all that is that's, you know, producing, having successful alumni of the program.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But I'm big, big, teaching these kids that, you know, you have to having perseverance, that you're going to fail. Failure is not bad. I mean, things that you think are just normal. We think of normal, you know, some of these kids have probably never even heard these concepts.
Yeah, success doesn't come without failure. You know, it's, I mean, you gotta.
Maybe have good books like a Zig Ziglar. I mean, simple things that we had to read. A reading list. Things that we had to read before we went into the FA training program back at Merrill or, you know, Maureen Smith Barney or back in the day, maybe have a good reading list for these kids and maybe a test after, just something to kind of help that maybe you don't have to tell them, but to help their mindset, help them view the world from a different lens.
Yeah. And I've got such faith in humanity that, you know, we're all the, I mean, I don't see color, you know, I know I'm supposed to, but I don't, you know, I see people and I mean,
there are evil people in this world who really do.
Yeah, but they're a small.
But it's a small in this country. It's a small percentage, and.
But they're amplified because the powers that be want us to color.
Right, right. But you know, country is not like that. You know, everybody has opportunity.
I have to remember that I'm honestly, I've continued to coach a number of people in your market and in your office, and I got to remember. Oh yeah, they're Hispanic. I forgot.
Hispanic, I think of myself as an American. I mean, I view myself as an equal to you.
I don't think of myself as whatever I am, you know.
Right.
We're all American.
That's the thing, right? Most whites that came have already assimilated, right? Irish don't think of themselves as Irish until St. Paddy's Day, right?
Right.
Italians think of themselves, so it's a process of assimilation.
Well, as a country, but we've always just loved our differences. We joke around. We like when I went to training, they would joke around and say they don't. And when you go anywhere else, they don't realize that Hispanics. There's many other types of Hispanics than Mexican. So they would tell me, and when I went to Hartford, they would say "andale, andale," and they would make like funny noises at me. And but it was funny. It was like, you know, we were joking and I didn't take offense, you know, and I would give it right back to them. But we just, you know, as we love our differences and we love our, you know, and that's what the beauty of our country. So hopefully we can get back to that.
Well, hopefully we can make that program this is going to be a great bridge, right? For these kids.
Have you seen the movie? It's a Will Smith movie.
Yeah.
The gentleman, he was actually a Merrill advisor.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great movie. Yeah, with the little kid, yes.
I forgot his name. Chris.
Homeless.
That's a great movie. It has a great book. It's his story. He was homeless, you know, while he was in the Merrill program.
That was for real, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real story.
That's a real story. And he's actually a speaker. He speaks at different events throughout the country. He's an author.
Oh, if you can get him to
I forgot the name of the movie. But you know, if you look up Will Smith, you'll see the
I'll do that for you. I'll look for his information.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'll find the contact. Once this program is up and running, I think if you can have like a Zoom meeting or a webinar type of, and have him speak to this group, I think that would be fantastic.
That would be awesome. And he'd be able to.
Yeah.
He'd be such a good coach for me and for my team, right? He'd be like, no, don't say that.
There's another that listens to all these motivational stuff through YouTube. His name is Tyler Perry. And
Tyler Perry is not
he's not in finance. He's NFA, but he does a great, I mean, about success and failure and he's also a person of color. So I think, I mean, but anyways, we'll start.
He's one of the largest movie producers.
Is he?
Yes.
He says his story and it's just amazing. Yeah. I mean, but anyway,
you guys can start thinking, I will, if you don't mind, I will, nominate you for my, mentoring committee. Okay. And that would be, you know, not, you know, I don't want to wear you out with meetings, but, as we pull this thing together, you guys would be terrific, in that. And you can, your insights are really helpful. And, you know, like I said, people forget, you know, if you're in Boston and you're Hispanic, that's kind of a rarity. When you're in Miami.
If you're Irish, it's a rarity.
I walk around and they're like, hey, gringo, you know, what are you doing here? I loved it there, by the way. I had a great time just kind of walking around and eating a meal out in the square there. And I mean, it was, just watching the people. You don't have to go to South America. You can be there and you get it. It's all South America all around you.
If you go to Doral, that's like little Venezuela.
Yeah.
You know.
But even in Coral Gables has the largest, you know, Anglo
population.
So you are in the Anglo population of Miami.
They were still all speaking Spanish. Okay.
you laugh, but I've had Anglo friends growing up that spoke better Spanish than Spanish, second generation.
My son will not speak Spanish, and I'm having an issue with that.
You won't speak Spanish?
Nope. It's our fault because we're second generation, so we are not comfortable. Like it just doesn't come natural to us to talk Spanish. I have set reminders on my phone, speak Spanish. So I start doing it and then within like 30 minutes we revert back to English. So he wants to learn, but we've done a disservice to him, honestly. I take responsibility for that.
Yeah, it's like my granddaughter, I'm a tennis, you know, I'm like fourth generation tennis players and she's well golf now, so she's a golfer. It's terrible. Well, what else can I do for you guys?
I'm gonna get off the hook. So he's gonna update you on what he's done.
Okay. So this is
ability, right?
I've done nothing as far as what I had to do for Supernova. I've done a lot of other things.
He is big. He has brought in assets through our, you know, clients that Melanie had that he's actually having monthly calls with now. They brought in additional assets and.
No, new clients. They've referred. And
they've referred clients. They brought in assets too in December.
Yeah.
And they referred clients. No. So the through the regular Supernova, you know, model. But
we are, as far as financial plans completed, you actually did this for me. You reached out to our WAA and he's putting us, putting our list together, of what number of clients we've done a plan for and who's pending. So that's, and I've seen the emails coming in, from.
Yeah, I did some of his work.
And I haven't called the COIs.
The mastermind group, you need to be on top of him because that's something that he's unconsciously, I told him I'm going to unconsciously just always putting it on the last of the list.
No, I actually, I'm almost done with the Supernova Multiplier book.
He's reading it.
I've been reading it and writing notes and stuff like that. And starting to implement there. So I'm a little scatterbrained right now because I like systems, right? So I'm like, do I go back and start through the multiplier and, you know, start doing the things all over again from, you know, chapter one to chapter two, chapter three, like that, or do this homework?
I think just do that homework.
Oh, it's part of chapter, I think, four.
I think sometimes you just need to do what's in front of you. Like, just get it done. Get it done. Get it out of the way because you'll find 20 other things to do before you get to the mastermind group.
Yeah, think about the mastermind group. You know, you say right now that I never created a mastermind group myself. So I'm really bad to, you know, I had centers of influence, but the mastermind group thing was something that I always admired, you know, since I've been coaching. I could have had a mastermind group as a coach, but this initiative that I'm doing, so easy to bring people together. I've got a mastermind group now of the people involved in this, right? And they are introducing me to such interesting people all over. And in the end, it's really going to help my business. Think about it. Every team that everybody that I place is going to have gone through Supernova training. Who's in charge of the program? Me. Okay. So I make the rules. So it will be good for my business, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it for all the right reasons. So think about tying in your mastermind group to something that you're really passionate about, maybe something for the community that you could fix or change, or and then pull together people that you think would be good for your business, but would be also passionate about your cause.
I think that's the other thing. I need to develop our COIs better before developing a mastermind group, because if not.
That's true. You don't want a mastermind group of people that you don't care about.
And don't care about or are not going to put in the work, right?
Right. You know,
so I think before developing a mastermind group is what I've been trying to explain to Roxana, is that I need to develop stronger COIs.
The problem is that there's no, like, sense of urgency about it.
Yeah.
So it'll be a year from now and he still has to develop strong.
Right.
And I'm talking him. I'm the same way. I mean,
I know. And it's like, you know, we're doing fine. We're getting referrals. Life is good. But, I think about what would be something where you could tie the two together. And I wouldn't worry so much that the mastermind group has to be perfect. It could be around a cause. And then you can dissolve it once the cause is finished, or you know, they could be a board of directors and then roll off if you don't like them.
So my daughter was thinking of starting. She actually, I presented this to her and she wants to do something else with impoverished children in Little Havana. But I was telling Rick, what about setting up a program with Miami Children's Hospital? And it's a tutoring program for children who are either hospitalized, meaning that they have to live there because they're going through chemo or have some disease, or children who have been there for, let's say, more than 2 weeks. and they need help with school. And you set up this tutoring program and you have students volunteer for, now they need service hours and they get service hours. And then ultimately we can transition it where we have, you know, people donating and maybe we can even pay some of these kids to tutor them. And it's all virtual because of COVID. I don't know that the hospital would go for it, but.
Well, even after COVID, I think it would be easier to do it virtually because it's.
I think the Zoom world is never going to change.
No.
And you're going to be, it's going to be easier for these kids to reach because they're going to be high school kids tutoring middle school and elementary school kids. And it's going to be easier for them to get together. Some high school kids don't drive, you know. If they do drive, maybe their parents won't be comfortable them driving to some of these communities. You know, and I think, and like one of the things we even talked about is raising funds to actually donate computers to some of these kids, so they can have these Zoom
well,
calls.
Well, but if some of the kids have the resources, we'll still provide.
Correct.
We'll still provide
the tutoring.
It's a great cause. You're going to need a treasurer. That means you need a CPA, right? You can incorporate a charity fairly easily and start it. You just have to come up with a name like our Supernova Scholars. I'm in the process of doing it, right? Now I'm going to do it through a lawyer and all that and spend too much money doing it, but you guys could probably do it on the internet. You're smart. And do it for hardly anything.
Oh, it's not as easy to incorporate a non-for-profit as it is to incorporate a for-profit.
That's true. Actually, I know that. But I don't think it's going to be that hard. I mean, I've already filled out the paperwork and...
Yeah.
Someone in education.
I think you can get it done.
But if you have a CPA, it makes it markedly easier to incorporate because one of the hurdles with incorporating a non-for-profit is the IRS has to approve it, if I'm not mistaken.
What kind of attorney, if we bring in an attorney?
Well, you mean just to do this, or?
Yeah, no, to do like a mastermind group around this to help develop this.
Well, I mean, for example, my attorney is that I'm having do this. She's got a division of her company that does charitable incorporations, you know, so, you can just get a general attorney that, you know, I went to my estate planning attorney and she got me hooked up with this other gal that does the charity side. It's just a major law firm in Indianapolis, but they're registered in Florida so I can incorporate in Florida. So, you know, I just had to fill out this paperwork and, you know, they got to let you do it, right? It's for real. You got to have a board of directors. You just have to have certain things in structure. You just fill out the form and, you know, we'll see. I can tell you how it's going to go. I'm doing it. And the LLCs are a piece of cake. If you want to just do an LLC and make it a for-profit, but not really, it's like Supernova. It's a for-profit that doesn't make any money because I give it all away.
Yeah, I could do it online and have it by tomorrow.
Right. And that way you have it and then you can, you know, you have a place to send money and stuff like that. They can't take a deduction though. That's the problem when you're raising money.
Get corporations to donate.
Yeah.
If you decide to go that route. It's just a thought.
Well, it's not for me. It's Sophia. Helper with it.
Yeah.
But I think you could get, you know, a CPA attorney, a commercial realtor. And so you kind of build your mastermind group, but you have a purpose to it rather than just generating more business. So I think it certainly has been easy for me to get people to come and be on my Zoom calls. They're on every week. I can't even get rid of them now. And I have it every week.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Every week we have it. So anyway, and I'm picking up referrals from disparate, like you guys, you know, it's just like, wow, this thing is really rocking and rolling. So I'm meeting a lot of people. I'm having fun. it sort of gives you purpose. Everybody needs purpose. And guess what? Once you have the purpose, then you're gonna end up doing business. So, you know, I'm building in lots of coaching into this program, which is what they need. And we'll do as much as we can, but we can't do it all. I'm gonna have to find other coaches and things to do it. So anyway, it's kind of fun. So yeah, I think that's the way I'd go, Rick, rather than just trying to create a mastermind group for no other purpose than to just do more business, you know. People don't get fired up about that, but they do get fired up about helping people.
Yeah.
So good. How did you end up the year? What were the numbers?
Ooh, we need to submit our business plan. I don't have it in front of me. I mean, we have it pretty much developed based on what we went over, but I don't. I finished at, let's say 700. You know, very close to 700.
I finished at 340.
So you did 1,040,000?
Yes.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. Needs to be double.
Yeah. That's not good.
And what's your assets now?
Do you have it there?
I'll bring the computer. Hold on.
Yeah. I think it's around 250 with all the partnerships combined. And we have two more years left in the retirement plan. As of June of this year, we'll have two more years.
And what's the assets under management? I mean, in terms of fee-based.
My portion is around 80%. Roxana's is a little bit less. But we've been, that's what we focused on last year.
Yeah, you converted, right? You converted a lot of the asset. That's so funny. When you walk in that room,
yeah,
it's so cool because you kind of just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah. Because I have the virtual background.
Yeah, it's like, woo!
Okay, give me 1 second. I'm bringing everything up here. Just give me 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think I have a lot more of the CGA assets than Roxana, of the fee-based assets.
We did that for when you were in the program.
Yeah.
You got double credit.
As far as
this inauguration looks more like a funeral than it does an inauguration. Nothing but black cars and sad looking faces.
Just froze.
You just froze, yeah.
The screen just froze.
Mine?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be her phone. It's probably her phone because, no, you're fine now. You're good.
I was saying it looks, the inauguration looks more like a funeral than it does an inauguration.
Well, also like, it looks like a North Korean inauguration.
Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Very stark.
Yeah. Where is this?
They said they have 30,000 troops.
Yeah.
That's 10 times the amount of troops in Afghanistan.
Well, currently.
Currently, right.
They just got a vacation to Washington, D.C. to see a few monuments and then go home.
The client I was telling you about, that he's in counterterrorism and NYPD, they leave tonight back to New York.
It's only for...
They were there for 2 days.
It's just a big joke. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let me go to... Yeah.
I'm going to have to jump off you guys.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. So let's just pick up, get me the numbers from last year for assets and assets under management. And then your goals for the new year. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.